Mike McIntosh begins our study today with this thought about having a glitch in our theology.
So he's ministering to the scribe. He's trying to show him just a little glitch in his theology. And a little glitch is enough to keep us all near the kingdom of God. We don't want any glitches. We want the truth. Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed."
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for being with us for the Thursday edition of Chapter and Verse as we continue our series through the Gospel of Mark. One of the lessons that Jesus is always trying to get across is how important it is being in the kingdom of God, not near it. Our loving Father saw us as blatant sinners, incapable of living a righteous life on our own. Our sins were laid bare before the eyes of our righteous God, who is too good, too loving, and too merciful to leave us to our own wicked devices. He covered our sins with His love, the blood of His beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Through this covenant, we become heirs to the kingdom as we pass from this world to the glorious mansion that awaits for us in heaven. Let's listen now as Mike continues in Mark chapter 12 with part one of his message, All You Need Is Love.
We're going to look at the second half of chapter 12 of Mark tonight. If you have your Bible with you, which I hope you do, we're going to pick up at verse 28. Mark chapter 12 and at verse 28. And next Sunday night, we'll look at the 13th chapter of Mark, and that's all prophecy. It's all about the end of the world and what things will be happening. And if you have friends that like Bible prophecy, it'll be a good night for them to come and get some questions answered. The world is in a very, very strange place. Very strange and dangerous place. Which will encourage the Lord to come back sooner, hopefully. Lord, tonight we thank you that we can join together publicly. We can open a Bible, we can read it, and we can fall in love with you over again and over again. And we're very, very grateful to you. We pray for our leadership that you would raise the cream of the crop to the top, to the God-fearing men and women that are in the leadership of our country. May their voice be heard, and Lord, may you have mercy on the USA. Have mercy. Protect the men and women that are covert and overt operators around the world, looking after our interest. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, so tonight we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, have mercy. So Lord, we live in a very time of peril. Perilous time, just like the Bible said. So please, use us to help other people come to know you before their time is up. Take every family, we ask in Jesus' name, that is represented in this room and on Calvary Radio Network and on the internet tonight. Everyone that is zeroed in on worshiping you tonight, would you take the extended family and all their family members and have mercy on each and every one of them? Even those that are the furthest away from you, Lord, work a miracle for all of our families that they had come to know you in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 12, Gospel of Mark, the 28th verse. So I'll start reading there and then we'll pick up some points to it. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that Jesus, he, had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. It is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Simply love God, love neighbor. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Let's go back to verse 28, how this scribe comes to Jesus. So he's a religious man. A scribe, he's like the person that writes down in the synagogue and translates, and he's very much into the Torah, to the five books of Moses, the Psalms and the prophets. So he's very knowledgeable. Scribes should be very knowledgeable of the scriptures. But I want you to look a little closer at him than just him being a scribe. I want you to listen to his language and pick up on his personality and see what you see. Because he's an interesting man. If you just glide over it, you miss it. But we all have friends like this guy. So let's take a look at him a little bit closer than that. One of the scribes, not all of them, but just one, having heard Jesus reasoning together with the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders, perceiving, that's an interesting word, he's perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked him, Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Now, we obviously know he's not asking him because he doesn't know. He knows what it is. So what he's doing is like not an inquiry, like a seeker coming to find out who Jesus is. He's somewhat interrogating Jesus. And he perceives that he answered him well. Now he's going to start poking at him and see where his truth lies. So he says to him, which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. And every Jew knew that. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you should love the Lord your God with all your heart. I love it that he emphasizes all, not some or once in a while, but all your heart, with your soul, with all your mind, all your faculties basically, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. It's this: you should love your neighbor as yourself. He only asked for the first, but Jesus tacks this on because he's very wise. And watch what happens. You should love your neighbor as yourself, and there is no other commandment greater than these. And it was just boiled down to love God, love your neighbor. If you're doing this, you're fulfilling. So the scribe says to him, well said. Now, I can see that this scribe is trying to communicate with Jesus. Jesus is different to him. He's a carpenter. He's from Galilee. Can any good thing come out of the Galilee or Nazareth? So he's trying to build a bridge, I think, for the crowd that's around him. And Jesus is going to touch this guy's soul in a unique way. Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but Him. This guy literally has no clue. He has no clue of who God really is. He has no clue who he's speaking with and who's standing right in front of him. He has no clue to how to get to heaven, actually. Now, Pontius Pilate had Jesus, we mentioned last week, standing right in front of him, and he said to Jesus, what is truth? And Jesus had said in John 14, I am the truth. So truth can be staring us right in the eye and we can miss it. So this man is doing his duty, but it's somewhat a process I think that he's probably used in other people. Hey, buddy, tell me this. And he'd probe them and see if they knew who God was and how you're to love him, or if you're to love your neighbor. So I feel sorry for him because he's talking down to Jesus. He has no clue who this man is. You know, I got to travel a lot for many, many years, and to be with Pastor Chuck Smith in a lot of different situations, and I respected him. He was a man. He wasn't perfect. He loved God as most as a man could. He wasn't perfect. He knew it. He wasn't trying to be perfect. He was just trying to be forgiven, accept God's grace, and go about his life. And he loved people, and he loved giving people the Word of God. And I'd be with him somewhere across the country, in the middle of the country. We'd be at a conference together. And I always liked to just keep an eye out for him. And people would come to him, and they would act like they were being friendly, but they'd condescend. They'd talk down to him. And I knew him from a person point of view that he was open to answer any question from anybody at any time. He did not feel that he was superior to anybody. He never talked down to people. He talked from his heart to people. He loved people. And I'd stand there and I'd learn that this person has no clue who he's talking to. No clue. Now, I think it's really a safety verse for you and me. Let no man think more highly of himself than he should. That we shouldn't think we're somebody important or somebody big. So this person comes along, and I saw it happen all over the country, really. And I'd watch how humble and gentle he'd be and just go on to love him, tell him a verse. And he said, well, you could be right. I don't know. I don't see it that way. And he would just let it go at that. Never fought, never argued. But I know that he knew they were trying to set him up. And he just would look like Pastor Chuck. But they didn't know how smart Pastor Chuck was. And I learned a lot just by watching him. You can learn a lot just by watching Jesus in the Gospel of Mark and how he interacts with people. He knows he just came through the Pharisees who were trying to deceive him and the Sadducees. Now he's got a scribe, the three major groups that are against him, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. And he doesn't blow up. He doesn't get angry. He stands there and he listens to him and he says, you have a question about God? Yeah, I can answer that for you. And he answers it. But he gives him more than he asked for. And the scribe, in verse 32, just so you have to ask, who does he think he's talking to? Well said, teacher, or rabbi, or master. You have spoken the truth. Well, thank you for your endorsement. For there is one God, there is no other but he. So otherwise, what he's saying, you have just agreed with what I agree with and I believe. There is only one. So he's now the authority by saying it in that manner. It wasn't like in the manner of saying, I'm wanting to believe that you are who people say you are, but I need to ask you a few questions. It wasn't that kind of a heart or an attitude. And when you listen carefully to people, are they really saying to you what they're saying in vocabulary, but not in heart or body language? And you learn that so quickly with Jesus, how he interacts with people. Because you take the position of where Jesus is, he's God, he's the creator, he's there to redeem, he's there to love and forgive. So he has no agenda other than to bring people to heaven. And you see how people treat him, and he just goes on. He knows what they're up to, but he was wise. And in a season where deception is everywhere, you need to be a wise woman or a wise man. Wisdom's very important. And discerning. Discernment, we're told in the Bible, is a gift. But to have that gift, very, very important in these days, to discern who is speaking to me right now. What are they really trying to do? So we'll follow this guy along a little more. He doesn't know who he's talking to. Then in verse 33, teacher, there is not but one. And to love him with all of your heart, that's correct, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, this is sort of like a pause, and Jesus is standing there. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, note that. Otherwise, his answer was not screwball. It wasn't false doctrine. He's watching him, and he sees that this man answers wisely. Otherwise, he's holding on to the truth. He said to him, and underline this. This is an important verse to underline the person's Bible sitting on your left-hand side. Just reach over and underline this. You are not far from the kingdom of God. That's really important. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Now, if you were to ask him, he would probably say, I'm in the kingdom of God. But Jesus is just listening. And it's all the little things that speaks to Jesus. He has the right words about Scripture, but he doesn't have the right heart towards God. When he saw him, that he answered wisely, he said, you, buddy, you're not far from God. So we have to ask ourselves tonight, how far are we from God? Do we think we're somewhere where God doesn't see us? That would be horrible for each and every one of us. You're not far from the kingdom of God. He had all the right words, but not the right heart. And that's really important. You won't get to heaven because you know the right words. You'll get to heaven because Jesus was crucified for your sins, and you humble yourself, and you repent of your sins, and receive him into your life. That's what's going to get you into heaven. He says here, you are not far from God. And look at the next statement. But after that, no one dared question him. Wow. There was a dynamic being played there that Mark doesn't tell us what it was. Because in previous chapters, leading up to this chapter, it would say, and after that, the Pharisees sought how they could kill him. After that, the Sadducees and the crowds figured out a way to get rid of him. But here, they dared not ask another question. So what was the dynamic that struck fear into the hearts of all the people? Something went on there that's unspoken. And a lot of our lives is happening without words. And you see it, you know what it is, but you don't know how to put it into words, and it's a dynamic. And what happened here was that Jesus is always seeing you and me and the crowd around. He wants everybody to go to heaven. He's directing at this man. He's listening. And his response is not just for that man, it's for that crowd too, but it's also for us. You know, he created everything, and he knows that you would come across that verse some night, and it has to mean something. Why did they dare not? Otherwise, truth or dare. I dare you to ask him a question. What was the repercussion going to be if they asked him a question? They had some concept of Jesus that scared them. But I also saw that man's heart wasn't the same as his words, and Jesus' words was the same as his heart. How do you get to be like Jesus? Because you don't want to be like a man that's close to the kingdom of God or near it. You want to be like the Lord who takes you into the kingdom of God. So they dared not ask another question. And I think that they saw the impact that if I'll love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I'll love my neighbor as myself, I'll treat him in fairness, then he just said that's the sum total of all burnt offerings. And Jesus spoke to him and said, you're close. And probably many people in that audience thought the same way. Because I'm a good guy and I know some of the words, I'm in. But Jesus said, no, you're close. That should have struck fear into that scribe's heart. I wonder if it did into the audience when it says they dared not ask any questions, because they're probably rethinking all of their thoughts about how they've been raised and who is God and what is this all about. Chapter 12, verse 34. When Jesus saw this, he said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared ask him or questioned him. Verse 35, Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? Now, notice this question, because it looks like it's a mind bender or a tongue twister. It's sort of out in left field. Look at it very carefully. Has nothing to do with what they're talking about. How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the Son of God? Okay, he's a scribe. He's asking now, this scribe, how is it that your group of people say that Christ is the Son of David, But David himself said by the Holy Spirit, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." The Lord said to my Lord, the Lord God Almighty said to my Lord, telling us that way back then, David knew Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that the Lord God Almighty said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So David had a relationship, and he's given this tongue twister for a reason. I want to see if you can pick up on it before I point out some thoughts of it. He's talking to him as the scribes say, you're a scribe, you're not in the kingdom, but you're very near it. So let me just give you a little key. The scribes say that Jesus is the son of David, but David himself, by the Holy Spirit, said, the Lord said to my Lord. And so he's saying that he submitted to the lordship of Jesus, to what he understood, and that the Father was there, and he's going to sit on his right hand. So he's ministering to the scribe. He's trying to show him just a little glitch in his theology. And a little glitch is enough to keep us all near the kingdom of God. We don't want any glitches. We want the truth. Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So let's see what he's saying to him. Therefore, now he's given the conclusion. He's like a rabbi teaching right now. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? That's a professor. That's a rabbi. David himself calls him Lord. So how is it that you and your group of translators and writers and legalistic authoritarians, how is it that you say he's his son when David himself says he's the Lord? Otherwise, he's teaching him, you don't have your doctrine down right. You've got doctrine, but you don't have correct doctrine. It's like Pastor Chuck always said, if you have a text out of a context, you have nothing but a pretext. If there's no ground to back this on, then you're out in la-la land. So he raises a question. This is what's keeping you from the kingdom of God. You think you have it all, but you don't. And a true disciple is one that is willing to always learn and to, as we saw this morning, be corrected or chastised. This man, as we raise the question, who does he think he's talking to, was very secure in what he believed. And how he got there, we don't know all that he went through, but he wasn't all the way there. So Jesus is just telling him, you're near the kingdom. Then he says, I want to give you an example. And the example is this. You scribes say Jesus is the son of David, but David himself called him Lord. So if David calls him Lord, why do you say he's a son of David? How could he be a son if he's the Lord? And so what he's telling you and I tonight is that we should always look deeply into the word of Lord and to do our best to pray and let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into all truth. Because a little bit isn't enough. We need the whole truth. Nothing but the truth, and it'll set us free. So I thought it was very clever how he brought up a subject matter to show how his background trained him incorrectly over the word son and Lord. And then it opens up a door for you and me to look into to the past and say, whoa, hold it. He was calling, King David was calling him Lord, and then God, the Lord, God Almighty, says, come into my throne room, sit on my right hand. So I think it's a really interesting dynamic and change of words, but he's also stretching our hearts and our minds so that we can understand him better.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh with a message exhorting us to make sure we're in God's kingdom, not just standing by like the multitudes that followed Christ from town to town, hoping to be fed or see some other miracle performed. God gave us his son that we might have a personal and intimate fellowship with him, because as his children, we're going to be spending eternity with him. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and we'll be devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know that daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of EJ's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Next time, we'll continue our look through Mark chapter 12 as we learn, all you need is love. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.